A television commercial showed a Federal Express employee who had been marooned on a island for 5 years. I don't know if you've seen this commercial. He was finally rescued, and he sets out as a faithful FedEx employer to deliver the packages that have been stuck with him on this island and the packages that he has been protecting for 5 years. He goes to the door of the home and hands the package to the lady of the house. And as she takes it, he asks if he might inquire as to what was in the box that he had been saving for her for 5 years on this deserted island. She opens the box and shows him the contents and says, "Oh, it's nothing really, just a satellite phone and a GPS and some seeds, you know." Wow, can you imagine if something like that really happened? Can you imagine if everything you needed for a rescue was right there under your nose and you made no use of it because you never bothered to open the package? And I say that to say that sometimes I wonder if we're not a little bit like that Federal Express driver who had the resources right under his nose, right under his fingertips, but he never made use of them. He never opened the package. And the resource I'm referring to, of course, in our context, is the Word of God. This morning, I really do want to challenge you to begin a 40-day journey of reading, of absorbing God's Word. I believe that as we pray and as we read and as we reflect and as we respond to God's Word, we are not just performing a religious exercise. We are doing something so that we will be impacted by the power of God's Word. And that's the topic I want us to look at this morning, the power of God's Word. When we talk about God's Word, our thought immediately goes to the written Word, you know, the Bible. And in fact, that is what we are going to be focusing on in these next 40 days. But it's not just the written Word of God that is powerful. We're going to begin, first of all, by looking at the power of God's spoken Word. You see, God's Word comes to us in different forms. The spoken word has always been powerful. You might remember in Genesis chapter 27, Isaac wanted to pronounce a blessing on his son Esau, his firstborn son. But Jacob, the other son, tricked his father into blessing him, in pronouncing, in speaking, in uttering a blessing upon him instead of his older brother. You might remember that later on when Esau came to his father wanting to receive the blessing, the father said that he couldn't. He had already given it away. He had already spoken it. And he couldn't take it back. The spoken word, it was more than just words. It had power. The spoken word can be powerful. I'm sure we've all known people who have been able to influence others simply by their word. You might have had a mother or a father who just had to say the word, right? Or the look, but the word. The word, if the look didn't work, the word did, right? You might have had an employer who gave you a word and you had to make sure you accomplished what was said. The spoken word can indeed be powerful. James talks about that in his book in the New Testament. The spoken word can be powerful, but the power of our spoken word pales in comparison to the power of God's spoken word. By God's spoken word. You see, God didn't just think all things into being. He spoke them into being. We see this clearly in Genesis chapter 1. God said, "Let there be light." And what happened? There was light. He didn't just think it in his head. Poof, there it was. He said it. There's power in that. He said, "Let the expanse be between the waters to separate water." He said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered." He said, "Let the lights." He said, "Let the waters teem with living creatures," and so on and so forth. In each case, God said it. His spoken word went forth, and it happened. There was no argument. There was no hesitation. There was no negotiation. It happened. By the word of God, all things were created just as He spoke it. There's power in God's word, in His spoken word. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 29. This is what it says. "Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces?" Whew, talk about powerful. When God spoke, it was powerful. Abraham heard the voice of the Lord. Noah heard the voice of the Lord. Jonah heard the voice of the Lord, tried to run away from it. Samuel, Saul, who became Paul, Ananias, who was sent to Paul, all these people heard the voice of God, and they responded. God's voice is powerful. A second area in which we see the power of God's word is in the person of Jesus Christ. Now you may say, what are you talking about, Norm? We see the power of God's word through Jesus, the incarnate word. In John chapter 1, beginning at verse 1, take a look at what it says with me. "In the beginning was the Word," there's that word again, "and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." He was with God in the beginning. Now what is John talking about? Well, let's continue seeing down in verse 3. "Through Him," through the Word, "all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made." And then if you go down to verse 14, it says, "The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who comes from the Father, full of grace and truth." And so here's this interesting connection here. God, who created all things through His spoken word, and Jesus in John is revealed as that word, made flesh. In other words, Jesus, you could think of Him as God's Word in flesh, incarnate. Now, I don't pretend to understand all the meaning of this, but I do understand that just as the spoken Word of God carried authority, Jesus, the human form of God's Word, carries authority. The power of God's Word was seen in creation. Jesus was there in creation. And we see the power of God's Word through Jesus. In Mark chapter 4, verse 39, Jesus was asleep in a boat, you might remember. There was a crazy storm going on, and kind of like being on Lake Bennett, you know, and all of a sudden it goes crazy. And the disciples thought they were going to die. In their panic, they woke up Jesus. Jesus got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." And then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. It was through the words that Jesus spoke that the storms were calmed. It was through Jesus' words that He was able to cast out demons. It was through His words that forgiveness was granted. We see the power of God's Word through His spoken Word and through the person of Jesus. Indeed, there is power in the Word. And thirdly, there's power in God's written Word. And that's really what we are trying to focus on in these next 40 days. A woman wanted to impress the pastor when he had come to visit. And so she said to her little girl, she said, Honey, go to the back, go get the book that mommy loves so much. A minute later, the girl returned carrying the latest Sears catalog. Yeah. That one backfired. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 has a simple message for us. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. We often look at all the parts there, the training, rebuking, teaching, correcting, etc. But the part that makes the Bible unique, the part that really stands out for us, is the first part of that verse, God breathed. Because all Scripture is God breathed, it is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training. Now you might say, well, what does it mean, God breathed? Well, we get a hint to that in the story of man's creation. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. This is what it says. It says, the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. You see, when God breathed into man, man came alive. Before God breathed into Adam, Adam was just a clump of dirt on the ground. He was a collection of dust. He was nothing. He had no life. He had no soul. But all that changed when God breathed into him. And here's the point. God's breath brings life. And when God breathes into something, his breath gives it life, brings it alive, gives it meaning and purpose. The Apostle Paul, writing to Timothy, says that this is what God has done with the Scriptures. When we read the Bible, we are not just reading words on a page. When we read the Bible, we're reading something that has God's breath into it, the breath of life into it. It has life and meaning and purpose. Because it is God breathed, it can impact us. It's powerful. Before God breathed into Adam, he was just dirt on the ground. And if the Scriptures were not God-breathed, then they would just be words on a page. That's all they would be. But they're not just words. They are life and meaning. And that's the point. These words that we are reading, these words that I'm encouraging you to read in these next 40 days, they are much more than simply words on a page. They are life to those who read it. They are powerful because God is in these pages. And that's why this matters. That's why we want to do this, because God reveals himself through his word. If we want to know God, and I know we do, that's why we're here. If we want to draw close to God, if we want to understand who God is and what kind of a relationship he wants to have with us, if we want to grow, if we want to experience the power of God in our lives, we need to be absorbed in the Word of God. Because it is through his word that God speaks and that God reveals himself and displays his power. We don't always hear God's word, spoken word, with our ears, as many of the Old Testament patriarchs did. And we don't have the privilege of seeing the word of God in the flesh, as the apostles, as the disciples did. But we do have the written word of God. And again, if we want to know God, we need to know the word of God. One person put it this way: God's word, read it and reap. Someone else summarized it this way, and with this I want to close. It's actually printed on the back of your bulletin as well. It says, the Bible contains the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy, its precepts are binding, its decisions are immutable. Read it to believe, believe it to be safe, practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort to cheer you. It is the traveler's guide, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, the Christian's character. Here, paradise is restored, heaven opened, and the gates of hell disclosed. Christ is the grand subject, our good its design, and the glory of God its end. It should fill the memory, rule the heart, and guide the feet. Read it slowly, daily, prayerfully. It is a mine of wealth, a paradise of glory, and a river of pleasure. It is given you in life, will be opened at the judgment, and will be remembered forever. It involves the highest responsibility, will reward the greatest labor, and condemns all who trifle with its contents. I want to encourage you and ask you if you would join me these next 40 days and beyond in being people of God's word, seeking his word, reading his word, praying, and allowing his power to impact us through his word. And I pray that you will join me in doing this. Let's pray. Father God, we just come before you this morning. And Lord God, we recognize that your word is powerful, sharper than a double-edged sword, Lord God. That, Father God, through your word, you have spoken to people, that you have changed lives, that you have brought people into the kingdom of heaven, Lord, through your word. And Father God, I pray that we as your people, that as the church of Jesus Christ, that we would be people of your word, that we would be readers of your word in such a way, Lord God, that you would speak to us through your word. And I pray, Lord God, that as we embark on this 40 days of focused reading, Lord God, as we read the same passages as a church, as individuals together each day, Lord God, I pray that you would speak to us. I pray, Father, that you would speak to us as individuals, but also as a church, Lord God, that you would touch our hearts, Lord, that you would move us, that your power would be present in our lives and in this place, Lord God, that we would see your work, Lord God. And Father, we want to give you the glory for it. And Lord, we pray for this. And Lord, we pray that where we have failed in the past, Lord, where we have neglected your word, Father God, I pray that you would forgive us. Father God, help us to love your word. And Lord, I believe that as we take it upon ourselves to read and follow through, Lord, that you will develop even a greater love in our hearts for your word. Lord, that is what we pray for this morning. And I pray, Lord, that you would do it for your sake. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.